Good morning and welcome to The White Way, a public service radio program of the Mo'ili'ili Honganji. Mo'ili'ili Honganji is a Jodo Shishu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani and our members invite you to join us at temple services and activities. If you go to our internet website at www.mo'ili'ili honganji.org, you will find a map of our location and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's broadcast is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Roy Abe in memory of Shichiro and Kikue Abe. Our speaker this morning is Dr. George Tanabe, Professor Emeritus of the University of Hawaii. Good morning, Dr. Tanabe.
This is George Tanabe welcoming you to another broadcast of The White Way. And today I'd like to talk about forgiveness. Someone asked me the other day if Buddhism teaches forgiveness. Christians talk about forgiveness, this person said. You know, about how if someone slaps you on the face, you should turn the other cheek. We hear stories about remarkable people who suffer at the hands of another person and yet are able to turn the other cheek to forgive the person who had caused so much suffering. I remember hearing the story of a mother who confronted a man who had murdered her son. And she forgave him for his crime. It seems so humanly impossible to forgive someone who has killed a child of ours, and yet there are some people who are able to do so. In the Lord's Prayer, Christians pray to God to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness is such a central teaching of Christianity. But what about Buddhism? Does Buddhism teach forgiveness? If somebody wrongs us, we have every right to be angry at that person, to hold that person responsible and seek justice, maybe even revenge. It is natural to try to get back at anyone who has done something wrong against us, to even the score, an eye for an eye. Sometimes we hold on to this anger for a long time, never forgetting how someone did something bad to us, and we believe that we will feel better only if we are able to strike back at that person. Because we are unable to forgive that person, we hold a grudge for a long time. That grudge is a form of hate, and human beings from time immemorial have been plagued by hate. You punch me, so I punch you back. You punch me back again, I punch you, and on it goes. When this happens between nations, it is called war. The problem of war is an ancient one, and for all of the human progress we have made, we have yet to solve this ancient problem of war. For proof of this, just turn on the TV news. But if an adversary attacks our country, it is impossible for us to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies instead of hating them, and so we strike back in what will be yet another war in the endless history of wars. Forgiveness is the act of not retaliating against someone who has hurt us. Forgiveness is a great ideal, but nearly impossible to practice. And yet, every time Christians recite the Lord's Prayer, they pledge themselves to forgive those who trespass against them. And every time Buddhists recite the Dhammapada, which is one of the earliest books in Buddhism shared by Buddhists of all denominations, they pledge themselves to the ancient truth that hatred is not resolved by hatred. Only love resolves hatred. So the answer to our question is very clear. Buddhism also teaches forgiveness, which is the practice of responding to hate not with hatred, but with love. While the Dhammapada does not use the word forgiveness, it does say that we must respond to hatred with love. And that is the meaning of forgiveness. So make no mistake, Buddhism also teaches forgiveness. So far, we have been talking about forgiving other people who do bad things to us. But what about the bad things we do to other people? Christians call this sin, and Buddhists call this bad karma. Every time we do something bad to others, we get bad karma. And we implicate ourselves not just by what we do, but even by what we think. Bad thoughts will also result in bad karma. The The great obstacle to enlightenment is bad karma. And in early Buddhism, we are called upon to improve our karmic record by doing good and not doing bad. This too is nearly impossible. All of our ideals are difficult to realize. And this is why early Buddhists said it would take many lifetimes to perfect our karma. With each new rebirth, we have a chance to improve our karma in this life over and above what we were able to do in our previous life. Early Buddhist teaching was realistic in saying that it would take many lifetimes of hard effort to become a Buddha, that is, to become a morally perfect human being. Who can be morally perfect? The reason why there are so few living Buddhas is because it is nearly impossible to be morally perfect. It is the same with Christianity. The reason why there are so few living saints is because most, if not all, people are sinners. In order to become a Buddha, that is, a morally perfect person, we have to get rid of our bad karma. This is the central problem that all Buddhists face, and in the history of Buddhism, there have been three ways of doing this. I've already mentioned the first method from early Buddhism, and that is the path of doing good instead of evil. The more good we do, the better will our karma become. And at some point, with a lot of hard work over many lifetimes, we might wind up with perfect karma. This ideal is spelled out by the six paramitas: generosity, morality, patience, vigor, concentration, and wisdom. The word paramita means complete perfection, that is, to be 100% good, not 50 or 75 or even 95%. But as I said earlier, moral perfection is a great ideal, but impossible to achieve because we are flawed, imperfect beings. Because we are not capable of achieving perfection by ourselves, we obviously need help. And so the second way for purifying our karma is through the performance of ritual. There are countless rituals for many different purposes, but in general we turn to rituals as a way of asking for help from beings more powerful than we are. This is why Mahayana Buddhism has a large pantheon of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, powerful beings to whom we can turn for help by performing rituals. The rituals can be very simple, a private prayer, for instance, or very complicated, such that only a trained priest can perform them. The third way of resolving the problem of our bad karma is through having faith or trust in a greater power who can remove our moral failings from the path to becoming enlightened or gaining rebirth in the Pure Land. In Jodo Shinshu, this power is symbolized by Amida Buddha, the other power that can do what we cannot do with our own pathetic self-power. In other denominations of Mahayana Buddhism, there are other Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that can do the same job of destroying our bad karma, but this is done through rituals that are called metsuzai, the destruction of our moral failings or bad karma. Mahayana Buddhism became popular because it makes available so many powerful deities who can help us overcome our bad karma and offer us chances for spiritual progress. Jodo Shinshu is unique in saying that this can be accomplished without ritual, that we can remain morally imperfect and still be reborn in the Pure Land if we have faith, if we trust in Amida's power, if we believe in Amida's compassion to accept us just as we are, that is, not as perfect persons, which we are not, but as bumbu, ordinary people still suffering from moral failings. This is a great gift, and is the reason why we feel gratitude and say thank you, as we should, for all gifts given to us, even if, or especially if, we have not really earned them. There are many gods and deities who would punish us for bad deeds. We call these bachi, or retribution, or just deserts, or reaping what we sow. So what do we call it when we are not punished for our bad deeds or moral failings? Earlier, I said we call this forgiveness. But we talked about forgiveness in the context of a relationship between two people in which one side does not retaliate against another for their moral failings. Amida's compassion is the opposite of retaliation. Amida's mercy allows us to continue to make spiritual progress despite our bad karma. In other words, Amida forgives us, and this is why we place our trust and have faith in Amida. So if we return to the question we started out with, namely, does Buddhism teach forgiveness? The answer is clear. Forgiveness is available through good works, through rituals, and through trusting the compassion of Amida. Amida is the great Buddha of forgiveness, and we receive this forgiveness with deep gratitude. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Dr. Tanabe, for your Dharma message. To re-listen to the message, please check our website at www.moiliilihonganji.org. Tomorrow, Sunday, June 4th, the speaker at our 9 a.m. remembrance service will be Reverend Toshiyuki Umitani of Moiliilihonganji. As we come to the close of our program this morning, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Mr. and Mrs. Roy Abe, and our speaker, Dr. Tanabe. We thank you for listening and invite you to join us next week. Namo Amida Butsu.